Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
That it is, and we are jumping into the world of Ellen Greenberg again today because, well, more things have happened in this case in the last 2 weeks and in the last 14 years. Thankfully, because of the persistence of Ellen's parents saying, we're not going to take this, we're not going to buy your story, we're not just going to go away quietly, because she wasn't didn't kill herself, she was murdered. The evidence is all there. There's no question about this. And finally, in this last week, one of the medical professionals in it actually walked back their ruling, saying, yeah, you know what? This is something other than suicide. Joining me to discuss, someone who's been on this case from the beginning, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. There's that. And there's also some other interesting information that has come about this week involving the man who was the security guard at the building. But we'll get to that. Let me just get your reactions at this point with all of these new things that have come into this case and the investigation being reopened. What's your thoughts? What's your evaluation where we stand right now?
Well, we are in a very positive space from the standpoint of there's been a very serious turning point. Anytime you have a medical examiner who never change their mind, almost never. Mm-hmm. And he has changed his mind. And this is in obviously a very high publicized case. It's a case that's so important. And to say for a third time, a change, right? Mm-hmm. Homicide, no suicide. No, now we're back to unknown, but not suicide. Mm-hmm. Is really unheard of, Tony. And just imagine how this affects his standing in terms of being an expert on the stand. Mm-hmm. And apparently, when he's been on the stand in the past, and I just learned this, they have actually held up pictures to the juries where he has been testifying and said, this is the same guy who ruled this a suicide. So, he's looking at the full picture, I think, to try to make himself credible, but it really... No matter what he does, he's not credible, in my opinion, at this point.
No, not credible, but I guess the question is why? Why is he not credible? Is it because he made a bad call, or was there something that made him make a bad call? That's kind of the question that I think most people have. Was he that incompetent, or is there a reason for this that have been switched originally from suicide to homicide?
Well, two-edged sword there, I think, Tony. First, number one, yes, there was a reason why he says he changed from homicide to suicide initially. He said, listen, the police came to me. You know, there was this closed door meeting that we've all heard about. And they let him know that no one else was in there. The door was locked. The fiance was outside. He had to break in the door. And so by the mere fact that nobody else was in there, it had to have been her. And that's what made him switch. But on its face, that's so unusual for somebody who is in the practice of practicing medicine as a pathologist, is going to just look away from the medical evidence and say, oh, I'm making this determination based on what the police told me about somebody being there or not being there. So
yeah,
that's why the original change was made.
I've never heard of a medical examiner making their ruling on what the cause of death is based on hearsay and not on the physical evidence of a person that has post-mortem stab wounds and wounds that went into the spine, which would also have made it impossible for her to continue on forward because, oh, well, the fiance said the doorman was there. Can't, well, must be true. Must be suicide. I mean, what the hell is that? That is not a reason to make that ruling. I do not buy for one second that that is the only reason he changed that ruling. There has to be something else at play here, does there not?
Well, I think the mere fact that there was this meeting that took place with multiple individuals, and that after that meeting, all of a sudden the change happened, it really makes you just call into question. Because he should have known that information well early on. And quite frankly, his medical finding at the beginning, he was so specific and said she was stabbed by someone. Mm-hmm. He was very specific. And quite frankly, you don't have to have a degree, I would argue, to see that. Yeah. As you mentioned, not only into the spinal column, also 3 inches into that neck, that huge gaping wound on the head, and then also penetrated the aorta and penetrated the internal organs clear to the liver. So, you know, how does that make sense? How can you make that many wounds and keep stabbing away?
You can't. And you also can't come back from the dead and stab yourself as well for postmortem stab wounds. Because if we're to believe the story as is, she'd have to be a zombie for this to have been pulled off correctly. If we are to believe that she stabbed herself after death, after she had already, if she killed herself, damaged all these things that would disable her from being able to actually stab herself. Tell me more about that meeting that took place and what you're aware there, where suddenly they came back and this is a homicide and oh, it's not a crime scene either. Go figure.
Well, the issue, I definitely want to talk on this crime scene because what happened was the apartment manager called and said to the police, is this crime scene clear? And the law enforcement authority said, yeah, you can do whatever you want to it. A professional cleaning crew, Tony, was called in, not like Maids or Us, but a hazmat crew that specializes in crime scene cleanup went into that apartment and erased all evidence of anything, whatever happened,
yeah.
Blood spatter,
wiped
everything
it.
Gone. That was monumental. And then days later, finally, law enforcement achieved getting a search warrant, but it was too late. Everything was already wiped. And most importantly, Tony, the night of this incident, the Sam, who was the fiance, called his uncle, who is a prominent judge and an ethics judge, by the way, came to the apartment and took all her devices.
How often does that happen? How often do you call your prominent ethics judge uncle and say, hey, my fiance's dead in my house. They said it's not a crime scene. Can you come take all of the digital footprints out of the house? I got the cleaners coming already.
Yeah, it's really jaw-dropping. And specifically because part of the reason that they're saying, meaning they, law enforcement, Shapiro, everybody who's who has said this is suicide, has talked about searches and other items that I guess they found on this digital, on the computer. And my point is, that has been completely compromised because it was in the hands of the uncle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the chain of custody is completely broken. I mean, I'm not saying, I know you're not saying, and nobody's saying that they went in and deleted things, but the potential was certainly there to have done so. And I guess the question is, now where is all of this digital evidence? What happened to all of it? What happened to the knife that was never printed, when there's no DNA also taken off of anything? Are all of these pieces of evidence gone?
No. As far as we know, they're being maintained still, which has been a huge issue for the Greenbergs. In mm-hmm. other words, in Pennsylvania, suicide is not a crime. So it's not a crime. So why didn't they release it very early on after they said it was a suicide? I mean, this was 2011. The Greenbergs don't even have her pocketbook.
Yeah.
They don't have her journal. They don't have any of this evidence to peruse. And so obviously they're quite frustrated. They have hired so many different pathologists. They even hired the great Sarah Wecht, who came out and said this is most probably a homicide, not a suicide. Mm-hmm. In a memo that I read. And so essentially, they're working without a lot of the evidence. And why did the state feel compelled to keep it? I should say the Commonwealth County. Why?
How come none of that was brought into discovery in these civil cases? I mean, could that not have been brought up, brought into this? I mean, there are key pieces to this case.
Oh, definitely. And that civil suit was brilliant, because the civil suit the Greenbergs filed that finally went to trial on Monday, just this last Monday, well, I say went to trial, it was halted very quickly because the ME's office, who they were suing, and the ME, Dr. Osborne, they quickly wanted to make a deal. Mm-hmm. They did not want to let all of this evidence and information get out into the public eye. And certainly they have been able to obtain a lot of evidence during their examination in preparation for their civil suit. But they still don't have a lot of it, Tony. And it's just really incomprehensible what they've been through.
The concern here, okay, they're going to reopen the investigation, but who has been maintaining this evidence? Where is the evidence? And, I mean, do we know if it actually exists? I mean, that it is still, in fact, there. I guess the big question is, who has it in their possession?
Well, what's interesting is the DA, who was initially looked at this case, he said he literally found the case file on in a dusty file room with items on it. I think he said a Christmas decorations on top of it. I mean, it had literally been completely shelved. So I think you're going to play the soundbite that Brian Enten got from Shapiro, where he talks about, oh, it was reviewed for years and years, you know, like they were actually reviewing it. Well, mm-hmm. it seems like to me more that it was sitting on a shelf under Christmas decorations.
Yeah, actually, let's take a look at that. This is Brian Enten on News Nation and his reporting just the other night on this very case. I'm going to pull it up here over on this screen and press play. I got to say, this is great. Brian actually catches Josh Shapiro. It's not like in his office. It's not like it's a big press conference for this case. This is literally done at a you fill in the blanks here on this.
I believe it was some sort of educational fundraising and with kindergartners there. And, you know, Brian was brilliant. He went into this, and he has been trying for months now to talk to Mr. Shapiro about this subject, and has been, you know, roadblocked. And he had the opportunity, and to his credit, he took it.
And at the time, we have to put some context here. Shapiro does have a connection to the Goldberg family, correct?
The connection is through apparently this uncle, and there are a lot of details regarding it. It's probably a conversation for another time where mm-hmm. I could show the whole tree and photos and things like that. But yes, it is believed that there is a relationship between the uncle and other family members and Ann Shapiro.
And not saying that there's any influence or anything wrong that went on here, but just pointing out the facts of it, considering he was the AG at the time and, you know, could have pushed for a stronger investigation, but did not. Here's him kind of being caught off guard just the other day with Brian Anton.
With the Ellen Greenberg investigation, I know you're familiar with it because you were attorney general. This big development with the medical examiner now saying that he doesn't believe that it was a suicide. What would you like to see happen? Do you think there should be a new criminal investigation?
Well, look, I don't think I should speak for the city of Philadelphia and why they chose to make the decision they did. But let me just offer maybe some broader comments. First off, as a father of four, my heart breaks for the Greenberg family. No parent should ever, ever have to bury a child. And this is a case that I inherited as attorney general that occurred, if memory serves me, about 6 years prior to me even becoming attorney general of the Commonwealth. And it was a case that was put on my desk after the city of Philadelphia ruled that Ellen Greenberg died by suicide, not by homicide. That wasn't my decision. That was made years prior by the city of Philadelphia. The case was then sent to the Attorney General's office for investigation. And we looked at every possible angle. There's nothing I wanted more than to give these parents some finality, some answers, some clarity. And we received more evidence, more information during the course of our investigation. That sadly didn't show what they wanted it to show, but actually rather pointed to more data, more information that pointed toward a suicide. At some point, the Greenberg family asked that we no longer consider the case. And under the Commonwealth Attorneys Act, I had the authority as Attorney General to transfer that case to a neighboring district attorney. And I did. We transferred it to the Chester County District Attorney, if memory serves me. They looked at it for a couple of years, and they found the same determination as well. There was no evidence there that supported a homicide. There was no evidence there that supported any sort of criminal charges against anyone else. And they closed the case. So over the span of whatever it's been, over 10 years, over a decade, you've had three or four different law enforcement agencies look at it and come to that same conclusion. The city of Philadelphia were the ones that began this process when they determined the cause of death. That's on them to explain why they determined that. That had nothing to do with the attorney general's office or any district attorney's office. I'll end this where I began. My heart really does break for the Greenberg family. And I know that, maybe feel that lashing out at me in the media is helpful to their cause. I'm not going to stand in judgment of them. These are parents who are grieving and anguished. And again, I think no parent should have to bury a child. Lashing out isn't going to change the evidence here. And I'm hopeful that as this process goes forward, if any new information comes to bear, that it immediately be shared with the Chester County District Attorney and allow the DA there to conduct an investigation of that new material should anything come forward.
Do you think the medical examiner coming forward now, though, and saying he no longer believes it's a suicide is enough to push this forward? Now, I mean, that's a big change.
Yeah, I think that's a question for the DA in Chester County. It has to have some evidence with it, not just someone feeling different. But certainly if there's some evidence that this medical examiner has uncovered, I'm not familiar with that, I'm no longer the AG. If they have new evidence, new information, they should share that immediately. One of the things that was particularly frustrating to me when I was Attorney General is someone would have a press conference, claim to have new information, we would invite them into the AG's office, and then they actually didn't have anything that was particularly new, and they used the media to keep the issue alive. I understand why parents would want to keep this alive. I understand why they would want to find answers. I wanted nothing more than to be able to give them the answers that they wanted. But when you're in the role of being a prosecutor, you have to follow the evidence. And we never saw any evidence to suggest anything different. And then we shared the case with another district attorney, and they found the same.
What a crock of shit.
I mean, let's dissect this, Tony.
Yeah.
First of all, he says, basically he's blaming Philly.
Yeah.
That they were the first ones to make the determination. Well, so are you saying, why are you throwing it back in their lap if you supposedly investigated this for years?
Yeah.
And what did you really do? I feel like he's at such a huge deficit when it comes to facts and understanding everything that happened to her. Also, it seems to me, did they look at the other ME that was hired on this and what they said? They pointed out the fact that, as an example, there was a muscle hemorrhage in the neck, which is commensurate with what happens when you're strangled, and that there was petechia on her eyes that was never denoted by Dr. Osborne, that no scrapings from under the female to see under the fingernails to see if she had fought. We know of at least 11 bruises, including the wrist, including other bruising, of course, on the neck, on the chest, on the legs, knees. You know, knees would indicate your, you know, have your knees dug into that ground. So in any event, basically, it's a botched ME exam. And that was the basis for ruling, apparently, a suicide.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. The fact that he sits there and he says, well, there's just no evidence. All the evidence points to suicide. Has he looked at the evidence? Like, not that there needs to be new evidence. Just the stuff that exists is enough to rule it a suicide. Or not a suicide. To rule it a murder. A homicide. What is he even talking about? Like, is he just saying the fluff into the air because he knows a majority of people have no idea the details of this case? And, well, if he says this, it must be true.
Well, that's why most of us, you know, when I got my hands on that schematic all that time ago, I can't even remember, over 2 years ago, I immediately posted it. Because for me, when I read the autopsy, read all the reports, the parents had contacted me and sent me all the information. And when I read through everything, I was mind boggled, but not until they sent me that schematic.
Yeah.
And that schematic took the autopsy photos and showed exactly where each knife wound was, as well as the dimensions, whether they were serrated or not, as much as they could. Remember, Tony, two knives were used, according to other ME's. What person commits suicide and right in the middle after they've stabbed themselves 10 times in the back, including a 3-inch gash, says, I think I'm going to switch knives now.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah. It's insane because he says, according to the other MA, that there were serrated lacerations and straight edge lacerations. Now, I've seen the photo of the straight edge. And again, there was a knife block there. Obviously, this is seen as some sort of crime of passion. There's no evidence that somebody came in and did this other than somebody that she would have known. And it was, to me, you take the instrumentality or weaponry that you can find easily at your hands. Again, remember too, Tony, it was believed she was on the ground at some time prone because the blood dripped vertical down her face.
Yeah.
But she was supposedly found, and you can see on different photographs, she's leaning against a cabinet. So somebody sat her up, at least according to the crime scene photos. But then on the tape with 911, he says she's laying down. So who moved her in all these different positions?
And there's no evidence. It all points to a suicide, according to Josh Shapiro, who I seriously. And if he's saying all these other law enforcement agencies all came to the same conclusion, well, shit, you got some very stupid people working in these agencies if they're coming to that conclusion, because the layman can look at this and go, that is physically impossible. It just is. Let's go back to the night of this. And yes, Josh, we do feel good criticizing you because at worst, you're incompetent. At best, you're covering something up. what is going on here the night of the actual murder? Let's walk through that. We'll start with the ex-fiance saying he was down at the gym in the apartment and came back up. Why don't you take it from there and what the official story has been?
Yeah, and so he says he went to work out, and I believe the time frame he gave was only 30 minutes, which in and of itself I found a little odd. Most people can't go work out in 30 minutes, but some can.
I could.
So I don't want to make too much
I could because I get
you
sick
can?
Of it.
You run on the treadmill for 15 minutes.
I'm done.
I'm out of here. Give me a towel. I'm coming up.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't make that much out of it.
Yeah, I went on that one.
He comes up quickly, let's just say, within a half an hour, and he says the door is locked, and they have one of those latch hooks like everybody's familiar with on a motel room, and he says it was locked, and he tries to get in, he makes phone calls to her, he goes down, he tries to get, the individual working there at the apartment building to come up with him. That person says, listen, this is against policy to break in the door, you're on your own. So he goes up there, and remember, that story got very blown out of reality.
Yeah.
In other words, it was said that he actually came with the fiance, Sam, but he didn't. And he gives an affidavit that says that. And he says he broke open the door. Well, anyone who understands these latches and what it takes to get the door open, my background with that is with SWAT and breaching a door like this, it literally takes off one side or the other.
Yeah.
And you can see there's little to no damage on that door frame. And I posted the different ways you can easily make that lock work with a credit card or with just jimmying it to make it look like it was actually done. And then you can undo it. It's very easy. So in any event, that is one of the possibilities. And that he came in, he says, after he broke open the door, found her. He purportedly calls 911 right away. For those of you who have heard that call, it's very disjointed. They ask what happened. He said, I don't know. Words to this effect, she might have fallen. And then later they say, well, can you give her CPR? Well, I can't give her CPR. She's got a knife out of her chest.
Well,
when did you notice that?
And I want to add a piece to that. It's not just not wanting to give CPR. It's, I suppose I have to, right?
Oh, yes.
That's the actual comment where you can give her CPR. Oh, I suppose I have to, right? This is the reaction that he's giving as his fiance is dead on the floor. Another point, I want you to continue, but another point to that I noticed, Jennifer, and I've listened to the call 1,000 times, and we've played it back 1,000 times this week on the show, so I'm not going to play it again, but if somebody wants to hear it, it's on every segment this week about this. Is the fact that he goes into the phone call seemingly being very upset and seemingly already being very knowledgeable that his fiance, may be dead or that something truly happened, but he's discovering all of these things as if he's doing it on the phone call with the 911 operator for the first time. That I found very odd as well, where if you go into your apartment, you see your fiance looking questionably alive or not on the edge of the room, I would think you'd run over there first and see if you can help her before you immediately pick up 911 and just go, can somebody come and help? If you're the one there, I think you'd be trying to help. But if it all played out as that was, he was just first discovering these things on the phone with 911, which again, didn't make a lot of sense in context with the case.
I couldn't agree more. That's exactly right. There's nothing congruent about what he says as opposed to what somebody normally does in this situation. And I'm not saying I understand different people act differently, but he literally acts, halfway through the call, shocked that there's a knife in her chest.
Yeah.
And seems confused about what could have happened to her. So I agree with you, Tony. This is a perfect example of if you're going to stage a 911 call, what not to do.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It is a horrible, it's so cringy. And again, I am not saying that the ex-fiance had anything to do with this or did this, or anything of that nature. What I'm saying on this is, why don't you just talk? Why don't you just give the investigators any more information that you have? Maybe you already have, and maybe we're just unaware of it. I don't know. But I would think if the person you love and you're about to spend the rest of your life with dies under this bizarre of circumstances, you'd be almost making it your life mission to get justice for that person. I don't know. Everybody handles things different. Maybe it's just I want to run away, walk away, and not have this haunt me for the rest of my life the best I can. I guess that could be an answer, but it's very bizarre. Give your story and then be done with it. If you have nothing to hide, then that should all add up and we should be good and the family could have some closure. But he hasn't communicated with the family. We've heard that through the attorneys this last week as well.
Well, and what he did do was spend, I believe it was in the neighborhood of 40 minutes with his uncle,
mm-hmm.
who is a prominent judge. On the phone with him. That also I found to be very odd. If you were distraught, upset, you've just lost the love of your life, you're getting ready to get married, invitations have been sent, wedding dresses made, venues, everything is lined out. As you said, you're going to spend the rest of your life. And now you've lost her. I don't know. Maybe they're just very close and he just sobbed on his shoulders, but he came over and took all the devices after that.
That's what doesn't make any sense either. I mean, I can see, you know, getting some legal advice if someone you love or you know, a family member going, hey, this just happened. This does not look good. I don't know what to do right now. Give me some legal advice. Give me what I should be doing here. I don't think any part of that advice would involve, hey, let me come over and take every single digital footprint that we can out of here for simply no reason. I know eventually it did get turned back over, but why the hell did you do that? And what's the motive behind doing that?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's why these searches that purportedly took place regarding suicide, to me, don't mean near as much, because when were they done? Who had access? Were they put on there with these searches made after her death? Mm-hmm. We just don't know. But it's all been contaminated, that we do know.
At this point, you know, obviously, yes, that's been contaminated. People want justice here. The family wants justice here. Ellen deserves justice for what the hell happened, because it was not a suicide. You know, was it someone close to her that murdered her? I don't know. Was it somebody that got in? The door latch thing is extremely questionable, because it does not appear that this door was broken down. I don't know what to make of what can happen anymore, considering so many things that have been tainted. Is this case just kind of so far gone? So many people have been able to weasel their way into it for whatever their motives may be over the last 14 years that we're really never going to truly know, or there's not going to be enough evidence beyond a reasonable doubt to eventually point to a single individual.
I think there'll never be enough evidence beyond a reasonable doubt unless there's some smoking gun we don't know about in mm-hmm. some way, unfortunately. And I'll tell you, you know, yesterday I spoke with both Sandy and Dr. Greenberg, and they were so distraught. And I'll tell you why. I actually called them in celebration, you know, mm-hmm. talked to them obviously right after all of these changes, but then again yesterday. And they were so distraught. And I'll tell you why, Tony, because yeah. this is what the ruling is, first of all. The ruling hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Yes, Dr. Osborne, who's now in Florida, has said it's something other than suicide. And all they've done is refer it back to Chester County for another ME there to make a determination. And so nothing's been changed on the books. And B, they've said Chester County, relook at it. Well, Chester County looked at it for 2 years and said it was a suicide after 2 years. So they have lost all hope that anything promising is going to happen. And they literally sounded as down as I've ever heard them.
Wow. I mean, that's surprising, considering that they are making some ground here. I mean, they've got the medical examiner to say what they're going to say. But yes, you're exactly right. It doesn't change anything on the books. And it's just another empty promise that they're getting of, oh, yes, we'll reinvestigate this again for you. We looked at it for 2 years. We did... They didn't look at any. I mean, they didn't. I mean, otherwise they would see the facts of what actually this case is. This is such a glare. I don't understand. This is just like saying that the sky is hot pink and it's blue at all times and just go along with it. That's what's said. It's shocking. You can't come back from the dead and stab yourself. She couldn't have done these stab wounds to herself, even if she didn't come back from the dead.
I know. It's a case that I think gets people very emotional, because to see this young, beautiful woman with her whole life ahead of her, a school teacher, just really at the edge of starting a life, and to be murdered, I believe, in this horrific fashion, and then to have all the injustices done to her. And as you said, the only collaboration that I can see so far, a conspiracy piece, is just the fact that the fiance called the judge and the judge came and got everything. Yeah. Obviously, the judge didn't do that on his own. They had a conversation, and that leads me to believe that part of a conspiracy. How all these other factors figure in, the Emmy, law enforcement, Shapiro, is it just incompetence? Is it just Shapiro saying, listen, I've got 100 other things on my desk. Let's just take it on and let it sit there for a few years. Don't worry, they'll finally forget about it. And I'll just pass it back over when they get so frustrated with us that, you know, it's out of my hair. Is that what we're talking about? There's just a lot of questions that need answered.
There's too many questions here that need answers. There is just so much with this case. It gets more and more baffling by the day. And nobody's saying, go arrest this person. This person is guilty. There's certainly people who look very suspicious in this game of Clue. Unfortunately, it's not just a game. It's people's real lives. But we just want answers. We're not saying it's you. It's just answer some questions. Just fill in the blanks here, because the places that you could be filling in are completely empty and they don't look very good in your favor. And the way it appears to be playing right now is that people are covering something up. So if that's not the case, enlighten the world, please, so we can get on the track of who killed Ellen Greenberg. This is just... someone got away with murder, and I just wonder if we're ever going to get there to actually hold them accountable.
Well, and to your point there, remember, the case of standing is before the Supreme Court as we speak, at Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So we are waiting to see if the Greenbergs are going to have standing to challenge. They took that other case against the Emmy and Emmy's office, but they're waiting to hear about further standing. So we're still waiting that decision. And also, of course, what Chester County is going to do. I'm going to give you my bet. Nothing. It's going to be ruled a suicide again. And the Emmy is going to say, hopefully, says undetermined. If they do that, then at least the Greenbergs can go forward with a death suit against the son-in-law. Yeah. And I believe that's what they should do.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That would certainly open up a lot of interesting evidence and discovery if that were to take place. Just a case that never seems to end. I really hope the best for the Greenbergs, and that they can get some sort of peace here, knowing that they have certainly fought the good fight, unlike anyone else has yet.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.